Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe we're a little different. There's no need to be ashamed. You got the light.
my brothers and sisters. We're back. Yes, thank the Most High indeed that we're back again. Ah, yes, for another episode. Another very blessed episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I welcome you indeed to the show. For the Most High has told me, yes indeed, he has told me, that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me, because of what I must do, he told me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said to me that I would have his protection. I said his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, yes, for that, I am utmost truly thankful. The Most High has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could. Yes, everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, silence, if they could, to destroy. But my brothers and sisters, the word of the Most High shall not return to him void. His word, his promise, he shall surely accomplish all that for which he has spoken. All that he has purposed, he shall bring it to bear. Again, my brothers and sisters, this is Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I welcome you to the show. I thank the Most High for every ear, just for every ear that he brings near. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The Most High has told me, directly he has told me, to know what is said. And not know why it is said is to, in so many ways, simply to miss the point. Many say that they are, they identify themselves as people of Yah. Many identify themselves as people led by the Most High. Brothers and sisters, simply stated, if we all were truly led by the one Spirit, we would know not to blaspheme nor insult the authority of that Spirit. For the Most High has told me directly. If you can look at all the variant contradictions, anomalies, contentions, exist in this world. Conflict that exists in this world. And believe that it is a work or the result of his Holy Spirit. He said you cannot be a disciple unto him. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The man who can believe that a multitude of variant ideals are true to the will of the one, have they any impetus, inspiration, anything that drives them at all, with a strong compunction, to seek diligently what fully is the will of the Most High? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If man is compelled to believe against absolution, compelled to believe that somehow he is wise after mass confusion, who is it, my brothers and sisters, that he's compelled to become a student of? Who is he compelled to revere? Who is he compelled, my brothers and sisters, to recognize as an autonomous standard if a multitude of diversitudes can be counted wise before his eyes? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High says that he is one. Meaning that we must love him, seek him, with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. Love, seek, obey, even decree and declare his will. With all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. Even, my brother and sister, we might love one another as ourselves. So, discerning what is written, I was just quoting passages the Messiah said is the utmost command of all. Utmost command, my brothers and sisters, for the manifestation and the preservation and sanctification of a people. The stabilization, the surety, the oneness, the harmony, the love of the people, consecrated as representatives in the name of the Most High. So I said that's the utmost command of all. My brothers and sisters, I have a question to ask today. Have all given full consideration of the monumental nature of that command? Scripture says the remnant of Israel, Zephaniah 3:13, must speak no lies. That means there shouldn't be a multitude of diverse doctrines among us. In the name of the Most High, we must all speak the same thing, same understanding. We must all speak the same thing, no lies. Seeking after all that is justice, doing no iniquity, no inequity. Nothing after the perversion, the pollutions of, let's just say, self-righteous imagination. That there should be none to dissuade among us. The truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, many say that they've done nothing to dissuade their brethren, nothing to turn men aside from the hope of the common salvation, the common truth, the common allegiance that must be a heartfelt desire, devotion, aspiration, and dreams of all people. But the question is, my brothers and sisters, have we done all that we could do? Diligently sought for all that we could seek. And we discern what the Most High calls a solution. To seek what the Most High says is preparation for his appearing. Even, my brothers and sisters, preparation for a level of discipline, discretion, exceeding that which is common to men. Most High says he is one. That means he desires a people who are also one, one accord. It is faith, my brothers and sisters. I said it is faith in Yah. Knowing that he is one. To discern then when one observes contradiction among us, that we must know that this contradiction cannot be, I repeat, the work of the Most High, cannot be what is acceptable unto him. Contradiction we have surmised in this world. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, has not been therefore what is worthy to be vouchsafed, confirmed through the holy name. So since Yah is one, we know that the only offering he will accept is one that is true to him in all things. It is by faith in him, knowing that he will indeed surely reconcile this world truly in all things unto himself. It is by faith to know that we must seek what is wiser, knowing that Yah will not forever behold, nor will he continually allow what many have seen as to be perpetual injustice. Yah has promised there will be peace. Yah promised that after seeking his exceeding perfect word, this world should be blessed after the will of one. So it's a total fall from faith, my brothers and sisters, total fall from faith in Yah, not to seek all that the Most High has promised. It's a total denial against divine nature to even begin to think otherwise, or to think that the corruptions we see in this world shall endure forever. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, the scripture spoke of, for instance, in Isaiah 56, about those who would not warn the people about the constant expectation on the part of their rulers, leaving the people far short of what indeed is divine knowledge, saying that the next day and the next and the next will be just other days after which the simple-minded may be exploited. But I would have you to consider, my brothers and sisters, such words as said, for instance, by, we need to look at that, Habakkuk. Let me, for a moment, go into these scriptures. Habakkuk in the first chapter bears examination. And I've heard some actually say to me that they looked at all the corruptions in the world and they say, really believe the Most High will come to rectify all this? What makes someone think that the Most High be satisfied with any man's corruption? Is that the agenda that such as these who propose such a question would compel men to believe? Okay, Habakkuk, first chapter, the burden, the oracle, the message, which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Habakkuk 1 and 2. Oh, Yah, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? How long will I cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Those of you who listen to this church show on a regular basis, are well aware of what the scriptures say in Isaiah 40:27, 40:26 to 41:4. Talks about, in some texts, the way it relates is this. How long, O Lord, will it be, per se, the scriptures ask, that you refrain from the justice that is due to me? I'm paraphrasing it a bit. But what it means is that Israel knows, some of Israel knows that there's a promise of the Most High, a promise even unto peace. But some texts read it, let me go ahead and read it to you this way. NASB is an example. Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, as I spoke before, reads in this wise. And it's important to understand the scripture, full context of all that's being said, both here at the 40th chapter and at the 49th. NASB, for instance, say, why do you say, O Yaakov, and say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? In other words, my condition is hidden from the Most High, and the justice due me, or the word is promised to me, has escaped the notice of my Yah. Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting Yah, the Most High, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary? In other words, he does not forget his promise, nor is he tired, nor is he without power to bring to bear that which he has spoken. And his understanding is beyond measure. He is the one who gives strength to the weary. In other words, if anything, instead of man reminds, so being so much to remind the Most High of his promises, it'd be Yah in the last days to restore a covenant that reminds man concerning that which Yah has spoken. He does not forget. And it's the man who lacks might, discretion, the power to remember. He increases power, discretion. And the scripture says those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. How about the power to remember and become true all the Most High his purpose? Say, though the youths, even young men, grow weary and tired. How about forgetful? How about indiscriminate? How about compromising their understanding? And vigorous young men will stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Most High will gain new strength. They will mount wings as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They shall walk and not become weary. Oh, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures are paralleled also to such scriptures as Isaiah 59. The Most High says this is his covenant to his people as the time he brings the deliverer out of Zion. He says his covenant, his word, that he has put in your mouth. In other words, the full remembrance of all that he has spoken since world began. Think of it. Talk about Acts 3:18-23. Words that he's put in his mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants, descendants henceforth even forever. How many, over the course of how many ages, my brothers and sisters, has it been that according to varying allegiances, the people of Yah have been scattered because they forgot the promises of the Most High? They gave themselves an allegiance to so much surreptitious, insidious, inequity, illusion, injustice, lawlessness, infirmity, even a multitude of damnation. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 49, reflective of these scriptures, speaks about Messiah coming, saying, finally, in Isaiah 49, what does it read? He will come forth saying, listen to me, O Isles. How about all those who look for the promises and the truth of Yah? Pay attention, you peoples from afar, peoples afar off. Most High is calling from the womb, from the body of my mother, you name me. How about even purpose me and give me a title? Title unto his honor. It has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In other words, a word that gives consideration to all the Most High declared, discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. So the nature of what spirit it is the man is following. In the shadow of his hand has he concealed me. He's made me a select, a chosen arrow. Or how about even a chosen bowman? He's hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, even the servant of Israel. Some texts in the Masoretic particularly say. In whom I will show or reveal my glory. How about what is honorable for Yah? All my brothers and sisters, this is one who awakens. One scripture says the Lord suddenly awoke like a man that suddenly awoke from wine. Suddenly awakened from drunkenness. How about the illusions of this miscreant, misguiding, misadministrative system? Susceptive system, my brothers and sisters, that leads men astray. He says, I've toiled in vain. For a long time I toiled in vain after the vanity of this world. I spent my strength for naught, nothing, according to the vanity of this world. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Most High, my reward is with my Yah. How about, my brothers and sisters, his reward is to give every man as his work should be. His reward, his justice, is that the Most High has promised that he surely would reawaken his people to the truth of his wisdom. Isaiah 59 says the liberal come out of Zion, and the promise is irrevocable. Again, my brothers and sisters, said the liberal come out of Zion to turn ungodliness from Jacob. How about to show his people fully again what is the way of righteousness? How about to awaken his people beyond all their transgressions, all their allegiances to fallen standards? Heaven help us. Here, my brothers and sisters, it's time we discern the reality, because it's after the full knowledge of the truth of what is divine purpose that his people shall indeed be brought back. I repeat, shall indeed be brought back to him. Here, my brothers and sisters, I would have you to consider that in light of what we see ahead, Habakkuk. But Habakkuk is crying out to the Most High. And notice the sentimentality. Habakkuk 1 and 2. Oh, Yah, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Also, let's say invert the idea. How long, O Most High, before you do not just hear, but take action. Even take action, in just, my brothers and sisters, against all injustice. Say, how long will I cry to thee and thou wilt not save? How long before, Father, you do perform what you said you performed? That your people indeed be saved. That all miscreant thinking among them be cast out. And that a true reference point, reverence for the Most High, should be brought to bear. He says, why dost thou show me iniquity? In other words, Habakkuk is saying, why do I see iniquity everywhere? Injustice everywhere? Why and how long, O Most High, will you cause your people to behold these grievances? For spoiling and violence are before us. How about everywhere? And there are they that rise up only to bring forth strife and contentions. Therefore, it says the law is slacked. Men have not discerned the righteous and divine law. They've compromised themselves after every manner of injustice. The law is slacked. The law is handled lightly. Misadministrations, injustice. And justice and judgment does never go forth. In other words, you see nothing but injustice. For the wicked compasses about the righteous. And therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Some texts read it this way. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. In other words, you never see what is truly before the Most High to be counted as justice. Let me read to you what another text has to read concerning this self-same verse. I'm talking about Habakkuk 1 and 4. It might be good to read the entirety from that Habakkuk, again from Habakkuk 1 and 2 through 4. Let us examine these contexts of these verses. Again, I know what is said and I know why it's said. It's missed the point. Says, oh yeah, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? How long will I cry to thee because of the plunderers, those who are unjust, those who oppress, who declare the law unjustly and administer it unjustly, and thou wilt not deliver? Means he's talking, ask his people to ask the Most High to deliver his people, he and his people, from all those who deal unjustly. Who, how about those, my brothers and sisters, also who espouse prophets, prophesy, preach, teach, administer, but not according to what is fully doing what is acceptable unto the will of Yah? Why dost thou show me iniquity and deceit? Why is that all I see and see violence and evil? Justice was on my side, it says here, but the judge accepted bribes. I want you to think about it. Most High did not say he created this world in vain. He did not create this world for it to be a vision of injustice. His people of the earth, inhabited after spirit of wickedness, but as a habitation for his spirit, even that his people true unto him, might inhabit it forever. Read Isaiah 45 and understand. He said, therefore, the law is slack, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surely does evil to the righteous, thus justice goes forth perverted. How about Habakkuk 1 and 5? He said, behold, O you presumptuous, and see, those who presume the confusion shall endure forever. See, wonder, be astonished, and be amazed. For Yah will do a work in your days that you would not believe. Some many would not believe if a man would declare it to you. As I said before, my brothers and sisters, there are those who actually believe and actually have been compelled to think that a Messiah comes to deliver not by putting aside or exposing all transgression, but pardoning transgression, even allowing preservation of lawlessness, not reproving the injustices of man, not even reproving man for his unbelief, as if there's no common sense of accord for the people of the Most High. I want you to consider what the words actually say here. It said, behold, I will raise up the Chaldeans. Now, I want you to understand what this means. See, behold, I will raise up the Chaldeans. And I want you to look close to what I'm talking about here so we can get back to the point. He said, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that hasty and bitter nation, who shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. I want you to understand what this is talking about. It's talking about a whole entire schema of what has occurred, whereby at this point in time, in this junction in history, there's been so much oppression that many refuse to believe they've been oppressed. So much injustice that many began to trust in injustice. So much bondage to illusion and lies that many refuse to discern how they are in bondage. Consider. So if I vote, I'll rape the Chaldeans. This has long since happened. That hasty and bitter nation, talking about whatever it is or whoever it is, whatever nation it is, whatever institution of man it is, that has marched through the breadth of the land to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. How about even tell us to possess the people that are not theirs? They are mighty and dreadful. Their judgment and their notable doings proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than eagles and more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall swoop down and come from afar. They shall fly like an eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for plunder. The appearance of their faces is fearful. And they shall gather spoil or booty as the land, as the sand. They scoff at kings. Talking about kings, in this case, talking about the kings of Israel, the justice that's supposed to be committed in the land. Princes they mock, they laugh at every stronghold. They heap up earth and capture it. But the time will come, then shall his wind change and pass away. His army shall be found guilty before Yah. So here's the question Habakkuk is asking. Understand the cumulative nature of the statements. Art thou not from everlasting, O Yah? In other words, are you not consistent for all time? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Transgression of an eternal law will always be sin. Whenever man departs from what is divine rule, it is always tribulation, even damnation. It is injustice. If I were from everlasting, O Yah, my Holy One, art thou without a law? This is Habakkuk pleading for justice, O Yah. For thou hast ordained your laws for judgment. Let us uphold and understand that. Thou hast created us that we all, by these self-same laws, we all must be commonly disciplined. Look at what the Habakkuk is saying concerning the Most High. His eyes are too pure. They have no desire to behold evil. Saying the Most High does not have any will to look upon wickedness among men. So he asks, why dost thou look on presumptuous men and art silent when the wicked devours the righteous man? Most High has a time for which he said he would bring about judgment, that the unrighteous shall no longer rule in this world. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, what has actually happened in the world today. I repeat, many have seen injustice for so very long. They've forgotten that Yah demands an absolute. They've forgotten that the Most High has a law. They've forgotten the promises of the Most High that he would bring forth peace in this world. A lot of folks believe they're going to be up in the sky somewhere. My brothers and sisters, that's not the promise. The promise is that the Most High would make peace, even a paradise of this world. Yah, my brothers and sisters, demands an absolute. Why the diligent men are made more worried, my brothers and sisters, not fall then for the exploitations, the faithless exploitations of this world. Understand what I mean. Most High had declared a law that all should be chastened, all should be reproved, all should become obedient, one accord, in the same law. That all should know what in fact is the law of the Most High, that they be able to guard themselves, every man able to guard himself against worldly contrivance and against the exploitations of the unjust or the deceitfulness of those, my brothers and sisters, who presume hastily to judge the law but not consider it of all the Most High has said, and therefore in their hastiness and their lack of knowledge and their self-righteous and selfishly ambitious bias. My brothers and sisters, there are many who only set up whoever they will to fall for injustice. The pastor one time told me directly that his job was not about what is in the Bible. He told me it's about what's necessary for him to learn a profession. I talked to you about that before. Coming out of a seminary school, he was passing out resumes to some of every denomination you could call out and imagine. He was simply looking for a job where he could preside as a minister. And he told me, my brothers and sisters, if the people are willing to buy it, whatever it is they're willing to buy, he has a license to sell it. And will. Should tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of treachery going on. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. Each individual that would swear by the name of the Most High has an obligation to seek the whole word, the fullness of the word of the Most High, so that whenever there's a miscarriage of justice in any way, man may know what is necessary, and the people may know collectively what is necessary to be upheld, that no one be dealt with unjustly. That, my brothers and sisters, is a blessed society. That, my brothers and sisters, is the reason why the Most High oftentimes sent prophets. When kings and priests often fell short of what is divine justice, the Most High sent prophets with a greater sensitivity for what is justice, to raise the conscience of men, discern what is wise, because the Most High always desired that his people must collectively, collaboratively, and mutually know the truth. That's why they had rites of passage, called bar and bat mitzvahs, where in ancient Israel, my brothers and sisters, before one could be confirmed a citizen of the tribes, he had to show that he had the knowledge of the Torah. My brothers and sisters, many have not sought that knowledge for the mutual good of all. And they've set nations, my brothers and sisters, as such, subject to much exploitation and far less than what is necessary unto firmity. And the Most High gave his people definitive commands before walking in to possess the land. But he was giving them also not only what was necessary to possess the land, but what was necessary to preserve peace upon it. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discern more than what the words say, but why, to understand what is truly indeed the point. When one refuses, I want you to understand this. Like I said, it's a total fall from faith in that men have not considered the Most High commands of all men to know mutually what is the full gamut of the acceptable righteousness of his truth. When one refuses to know or acknowledge what is wiser, the more conclusive plan the Most High reveals, he has blindly made worldly perversion a god over himself. My brothers and sisters, and if he seeks to have authority over men, he makes worldly perversion a god over himself and over many, if they only worship what is devilish. Not knowing nor seeking the righteousness of Yah, so many of my brothers and sisters overcome by worldly damnations. We, as a people, however, according to the Shema, the most prime directive and command, are obligated to seek truth. That, my brothers and sisters, such injustices do not flourish among us. We must prepare for a kingdom, show a world that shows the world what is justice. I think about scriptures like Isaiah 59. It talks about, because apparently the way of peace, way of justice, way of righteousness. May have known that. When one would turn to depart from evil, turn toward righteousness, men are made a prey, because men's deception of what is just is just that twisted out of line. The adversary seeks to dissuade men. Delude men that, according to what's written in Isaiah 5, and their imprudence, they cause them to call evil good, and what is good evil. Again, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is the scriptures tell us that no matter what multitude of provocations we are amongst, amidst all nations, we all have an obligation by faith to transcend the debate about the doubts of this world, contradictions of this world, knowing that that's not a work of the Most High. See beyond all mockery and misrepresentations, all double-mindedness, if we are to be counted worthy to receive anything from Yah, favor from Him, or His blessing. And if we know that the Most High desires an absolute, we understand how those scriptures go on from Jacob, James, they call it, 1 and 1 through 8, then out through 11 verse, saying that all that is the result of fleshly imagination shall indeed be cast down. Shall indeed, my brothers and sisters, be exposed, in fact, as vanity and unrighteousness. Those of you know the truth, where that scripture said the grass withers, the flower fades. No, that comes from Isaiah 40. Boys crying in the wilderness, speaking for the comforting of the people, repentance of the people. People are being prepared to accept a higher conscience and being exercised in the cause of righteousness greater than all that their rulers had ever predisposed them to consider viable. Talk about the coming of the one called the righteous one, like the rising sun, who suddenly comes to reveal all the light the world would obscure and to cast out all the darkness. How about to cast out all injustice by the greater knowledge of the truth, to renew the strength and discretion of the people? Despite all the pressure, my brothers and sisters, I would have you to know that those scriptures in the box talk about how Most High knew and He already told them. Because of men's and Israel's injustice, He would scatter them among the nations. And my brothers and sisters, among the nations of the Gentiles, even Israel as well, has in so many ways refused to acknowledge the bondage that men have been under, not wanting to recognize how many have lived and simply died, not knowing the knowledge of Yah. Scripture says, you die without the law, you perish without the law. If you die without the sense of what is justice, how should we be raised unto the kingdom of Yah as a king or priest who is to judge not only the tribes of Israel, but all the tribes of the earth? A man must know, my brothers and sisters, must seek to know what is true justice before Yah, to be found confirmed as steadfast as a just or righteous one under the name of Yah. As I said, many because of oppression have not desired to see great bondage that exists among men today. Psalm 2 talks about how the kings are taking counsel against the Most High and compel the people to imagine vain things, as they better want to admit it. Psalms 14 and Psalm 53, was compromised to an extent that people haven't known how much they need to seek Yah. Therefore, the evildoers devour the people like bread. That's not salvation. Man so compromised the law of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, that Most High said he looked and saw no intercessor. Most never even realized the need to petition for a greater right than what they see. Isaiah 42 said the same. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, that we know the Most High desires much more than that of his people? I would have you to give consideration. We must know the Most High, as I've said before so many times, has commanded the expectation of Messiah, even the one called Shiloh. Genesis 49:10 is a lawgiver. Tripper says he will smite the nation with the rod of his mouth, hollow by a pure, perfect word. An absolute sense of discipline, unshaken. Out of his mouth come a sharp two-edged sword. Rod of iron. Unflinching discipline. Pure and perfect discipline. So, understanding this, none can believe that the grace or the gift of the Most High, who is always just. None can believe that the grace of the Most High, the gift of the one who is eternally just, is under any form of compromise after lawlessness. None, my brothers and sisters, who know the Most High, has declared an eternal sense of justice, and he does not depart from it, can believe the grace of Yah, the gift of the Most High, who is holy always, tells men that they are just in denial of what is supreme divine wisdom. None can believe the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is under injustice or iniquity. None that knows Yah can believe that his grace is sanctions all the various provocations or unjust designs and stances of the nations. None that knows Yah but has faith in the absolution, the oneness that he is, can accept, and the Most High can accept anything else but an absolute. Isaiah 48 says he will not give the honor that is due to him to another. He must refine his people. He is not pleased that his men swear by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Blessed they will understand that faith in Yah is not wrought of a multitude of worldly contradictions and compromise. Faith in Yah after revelation of who he is and his nature compels no one to accept a multitude of contradictions. It's wise. I can tell you, I remember the very first time I heard the authority of his voice, and it was quite obvious. I can put it to you like this. Papa don't take no mess. Heaven help us. I don't want to tell you that ancient Rome, seeking to justify the multitude of pluralisms and polytheisms that were the Roman Empire, has sought to destabilize the whole world entire by confusing the masses not to discern what indeed is the promises of the Most High. It meant not look for an absolution, but believe that a multitude of compromises and contradictions after every polytheist, unjust, insecure standard imaginable, try to compel the people to believe that they are somehow viable, wise, and even licensed by Yah. Not true. Thus compelling men to trust in all manner of false religion, compelling men to believe the Most High has made a covenant with illusion, inconsistency, lies, my brothers and sisters. Most High has made a promise. He said his word will not return to him void. It will accomplish all that for which he sent it. How do you make a covenant to do anything else? My brothers and sisters, the Most High has declared, if you read the scriptures closely in Jeremiah 30-31, what's called a new covenant is actually an assurance of what he declared of old, that he restored a mind. All those things that men, all the justice of the Most High, he declared to his people. that they had forgotten while being scattered among the nations. Remember that scripture in Isaiah 59? He said, this is his covenant? Mm-hmm. That his word shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants, descendants henceforth even forever. Isaiah 59, 19 through 20. Did he say that the covenant he shall bring to bear, he will write it upon the minds and hearts, that men shall no longer break it? How about that men shall no longer depart from it? He will write his laws upon the minds and hearts. He will convince his people concerning the irrationality of turning against what is just and wise. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, be found worthy of that blessed wisdom. Rome desires that men have no respect for divine absolute. Western polytheist selfish ambitions after a multitude of diverse designs has been deleterious, my brothers and sisters, against the conscience of a whole world. But then diligent minds run risks in foolish pride to decide adversarially against reason, oftentimes in its willingness to take a bribe. Hey, even in a willingness to exploit for personal gain. But if the humbly diligent soul that has love for the fact that no one has a right to dissuade or destroy or enslave a mind, know that the only way a soul is made worthy under the Most High, that each one must know what it is to love, trust, obey, declare, preserve, defend, guard. For every soul's sake, the mutual knowledge of the highest truths. Seeking beyond all indiscretion that men might be free from those who would exploit and deal treacherous against the people after all manner of injustice. I've said it so many times before that Rome, after studying the people of the East for some time, understanding their expectation of an absolution declared by Messiah himself, bringing to remembrance all the Most High declared from the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world, from the dawn of human fall. Bringing back to remembrance all the Most High declared, there might be total justice, knew that the Eastern expectation of an absolute beyond all rulers, I said the expectation of Messiah to come to declare an absolute sense of justice beyond all the rulers of the earth was in fact an anti-exploitation mechanism. Therefore, they realized that they must destroy that faith, that sense of absolute beyond all double-mindedness, that anti-exploitation mechanism, that expectation the Most High gave his people, it must be preserved for the coming of a lawgiver unto whom all the people should gather in discerning the greater justice. And they knew that the destruction of that concept in the mind was pivotal to their total conquest of the peoples of the East, monotheist East, that Rome has sought to exploit as its own. So I take to speak again, brothers and sisters, they need to understand what is Curtis Shanya. What was the expectation, the mutual expectation of the early church? What was that mutual faith? Who did they know Messiah to be? As I said before, to know who Messiah said that he is, declaring absolution beyond all the rulers who have called to declare injustice, not teaching all the nations to obey all that he declared. To know that he declares an absolution beyond them all is a safeguard, my brothers and sisters, to tell all his people continually seek Yah in context of what he said. He said your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers. Your concept and knowledge of what is the law and the prophets, 5:14-24, must exceed that of your rulers. Thus you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Because he knew the rulers so many times would compromise that law so as to fatally flatter through politicization, compromising the law of the Most High to cater to and to gather to themselves the strength of the people, but not necessarily for their good. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Many say that even today they are Hebrews, but my brothers and sisters, if we are not willing to seek the fullness of the word, whereby we all might be blessed into the will of one Most High, giving glory first and foremost unto him, even unto the truth that the whole world has ignored. Brothers and sisters, we denied the cause of Israel. Like I said, I'm going to say this real quickly. I think I'm going to need to give myself a little bit more time. I know it's a little bit late, so I'm not going to make this show terribly long. See, I got about 3 minutes, but I know I'm going to need a little bit more than that. Please bear with me. Because it's pertinently important that I speak of this. Before coming into the land, Yah mandated to all Israel laws necessary that there be peace among the people, that men not offend one another, that there be a common sense of what is justice for the good of the people as a whole, that all know that unto which they must all agree. To know what is said, not know why it is said, and miss the point. We are all truly following the Most High, led by him as the one King. We would not have a multitude of different perspectives on this. But our concept of these things would genuinely and truthfully, with depth of discretion, give consideration all things the Most High has decreed. Remember, Scripture says in Yohanan 4, that even the Samaritan woman knew the Messiah would come to teach people all things. The Scripture says he comes with a word that's line upon line, precept upon precept. But most have not the discretion to understand it. What the Scriptures are actually saying, my brother says, the Messiah will come with a in-depth discretion of what is the concepts of the law, to declare all these things in such a way that giving consideration not only to all the law as it seems on the surface, but every bit of it according to its harmonics and purpose. The height, depth, and breadth of every word. That justice truly be declared. That form of justice with which the Most High can be pleased, restored to the earth, is an utmost blessing. In fact, the Most High told me the greatest gift he can give is a law by which all might love, trust, and cooperate. So before coming to the land, Yah mandated all Israel should know then what is his law, that all should seek the knowledge of what is his law. All should know what they should or should not do, that all know that unto which they should all love, trust, and cooperate to the glory of his name. Again, my brothers and sisters, to know what is said and not know why it is said, or not to consider why it is said, is a cause many to miss the point. And this lack of knowledge has caused many to give themselves over to all manner of adversariality, not even discerning their injustice. But I would have you to consider scriptures that, for instance, Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed be he that takes reward. How about cursed be he that accepts a bribe or takes a bribe to murder or to shed innocent blood? Hear me, what does this mean? To shed innocent blood. To murder what might be otherwise, depending on how you read the text. Cursed be he that would say takes reward to slay, to murder what might otherwise be innocent blood or an innocent person. And all the people shall say to this, so be it. I want you to consider the nature of this verse is very powerful, and the verse after it. It really relates, cursed is whoever it is that cannot confirm. Is it wisdom unto the Most High not to be able to confirm the words or the thoughts of the law the Most High has given, to know that it is wise to do this? And all people shall say, so be it. That is a mandate, my brothers and sisters, certainly to seek the greater righteousness of Yah. He says, cursed is one who takes reward that he may shed in some innocent blood. What did I tell you that I heard a pastor tell me recently? Well, actually, many years ago. But it's, I guess it's recent in the course of history, and it's, but it's been an age-old idea about what many seeking to exalt themselves have done for a long time. Been willing, my brothers and sisters, as this pastor told me, to take a bribe, if that's what the people want to hear. What do you say? If the people want to buy this false comfort, that's basically what it meant. They're willing to sell it. It's not about what the Bible has to say to them. It's about them learning a profession, being able to preside over one for pay. You ever stop to consider then, my brothers and sisters, what it means about how cursed so many of your pastors are if they're willing to compromise the truth and leave men guilty rather than guiltless? Think about what the scripture says. You should not take the name of the Most High in vain. You should not swear by his name not to seek the fullness of his will. He says he cannot account guiltless or blameless the man who does this. Well, the man, my brothers and sisters, who hides the truth that men are still yet left unjust, have murdered, in effect murdered many souls, have slain men who might otherwise seek justice to appease themselves. There are many, my brothers and sisters, who fatally flatter the people for a dollar. Now, what else was this man saying? It's not about what the Bible says. It's about him learning a profession, about him fattening his own pockets. And there might be some in the congregation, my brothers and sisters, who might actually want to know the truth, but they are dissuaded and misguided by these people. Shall we not understand why Messiah said, watch out for false prophets? If you want to call it that, false anointeds. Men who claim to function after the anointing of the Most High, but not to declare fully what is the will of the Father. Hey, you call them false prophets. They cry out, Lord, Lord, but not to do fully what is the will of the Father. Not to compel people to know what it is to fully do it is the will of the Father. Not to compel them to understand the difference between good and evil. Because they would have you taken in bondage to be exploited by the evil. Cursed be he that takes a bribe or reward. How about, my brothers and sisters, to leave the people for lack of knowledge guilty? Messiah said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Speak to them so they might not be found guilty in their lack of discretion. Messiah never said that anybody was guiltless, never knowing the knowledge of the truth. The soul not knowing the knowledge of the truth, my brothers and sisters, is unstable. How can an unstable and an unwary man pronounce justice for the good of anyone? In fact, man has learned how not to lie. He has learned how not to act with injustice. Man, in fact, needs to understand the very word justice and righteousness relates a man being true, lawfully true, to the only law which is just and lawful. It's the Most High made who made all things according to his purpose. So when it says in your King James Version, curses is whoever does not confirm all the words of the law to do them, how about curses all those who cannot confirm all the words of the law to discern what is wise concerning them, to bring to manifestation all that by those words is mandated, declared, that the Most High might be appeased. Think about it. Many say they keep a Shabbat, seventh day, and they know it's the seventh day. Okay. If men preach all different manner of doctrine in this time, is no one guilty? If men are not led to see the fullness of the truth the Most High has declared, is the law put away just by man's ignorance? Absolutely not. It's the Most High who has admonished man that he is not wearied, he does not forget his rule, does not forget his promise. It is man in a world that has scattered his conscience that must pursue the Most High for the re-recognition and remembrance of all that worldly misexample has misled so many not to discern how much of this truth they must recapture. Souls that cannot confirm the truth are easily taken away. Souls that cannot discern the truth, cannot guard the knowledge of what is divine conscience. Souls not discerning the truth, my brothers and sisters, are easily exploited. A word to those, my brothers and sisters, prepared to be made more aware is sufficient. Sanctity and preservation of the people is dependent upon them all knowing the law, that they may all love and guard one another against unjust exploitation. Many see themselves as innocent, like I said before, having said to themselves, never acted as obstacles against the salvation of any man. But the real question is, have men diligently sought all necessary that all be made whole, that all upon, if they were to hear the truth, they prepared to accept it. Remember the Shema, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to love, seek truth of the Most High and its absolution. We all might love rather than harm and hurt. We might not destroy or leave one another so easily to destruction. What does Scripture mean when it talks about putting upon yourself the whole armor of Yah? You may stand against the wiles of the devil. My brothers and sisters, the deceiver seeks to compel many to believe that injustice is wise. Hey, there's those folks, if I were to tell folks right now, ooh, heaven help us, that what has been taught in this world for so very long has been damnation and not salvation. Hey, and even though I could prove it, there are those who would not want to believe it. Like I said, they've come to rather trust the oppressor and deceiver than believe they've been deceived. And they join with the oppressor rather than recognize that what they do is blaspheming against the Most High. My brothers and sisters, believe me, it is blasphemy against the Most High to believe that he will accept any kind of injustice that's in the hearts of men as a work of his heart. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, since there are those who have asked this question, they've asked, how shall a man righteousness succeed that of their leaders? If the Most High says your righteousness must succeed that of your leaders, it means there must be a source that you can go to beyond your leaders for revelation of what is that exceeding righteousness beyond them. Scripture says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance. Messiah, the anointed one, must do the same. So what does it mean, my brothers and sisters, when, like I told you before, the Greeks use the same word for law to relate both the injustices of all their polytheist infirmities. They use that same word for law both to relate divine law in an absolution, and they use the same word for law, the preservation of their unjust confusion. So I ask the question, what is the curse of the law? Sometimes the scripture speaks of the curse of the law. What it's speaking about is the curse of being subject to the mass divisions, double-mindedness and confusion, as the authority of man. Man and his multitude of illusions. The curses that are contained, sometimes when the scripture is talking about the curse of the law, it's talking about the curses that fall upon those who do not confirm all that is in it. So I ask the question someone, I answer the question that someone might ask, how then shall man in Yeshua be redeemed from the curse of the law? It's certainly not by putting away an eternal law. It's not by rebuking the promises of the word of the Most High. How shall man be redeemed from the curse of the law? Being called by the Most High, he shall open his heart. He shall open his heart in the gifts of the Spirit under the remembrance of how to obey, what it is to obey, what it is to appease all Yah and all that He has decreed. Redemption from the curse of following after those, my brothers and sisters, who are who would compel you to be double-minded in your sense of allegiance. It's a matter of being redeemed from those who would compromise and confuse, pollute, pervert, cause you to forget what the Most High has said is utmost important. Yeshua, the scripture says, he remains in heaven until he comes for the restoration, restitution, remembrance of all things. According to all the Most High has spoken, how about mandated as a command by the mouth of his holy prophets? All that is for my brothers and sisters supposed to be done in preparation for the eventuality and a knowledge of what is the eventuality relative to the purpose for which this world was made. That you all as a people have the same common expectation, but they haven't taught all this, my brothers and sisters, and that was never the gospel, but is certainly the curse and the vision and the damnation of his people. And my brothers and sisters, scripture says, whoever blesses Israel shall be blessed. Whoever curses Israel shall be cursed. Only way you bless Israel, my brothers and sisters, as a people, is that you seek the fullness of the truth, that all the people be truly one. That's what an Israelite is obligated by mutual responsibility as a people to do. Yeshua comes in men. He said, if I do not go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come. If I do not go, then the Spirit that compels all his people to be to reason as one will not come. He said, by the gift of the Spirit, and the promise from the Father, he told his disciples, go forth and teach all nations everything that Yah has commanded, everything that he has commanded. How about everything that he would bring to remembrance? And he says, scripture tells us in advance, he prepares men for the time when he is sent to bring to remembrance all that the prophets spoke by the mouth of the Most High since the world began. That's all the law and the prophets. Even to the remission, my brothers and sisters, your rulers will not teach you. Revelation, second chapter, says, he who has ears and hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My brothers and sisters, all this was what the Most High declared as an anti-exploitation mechanism. That the people should seek to have such a powerful concept and knowledge of the intricacies of the law of the Most High, that if a false prophet is among them who preaches less, they would know it. If one preacher is not given consideration of all things, they would know it. He says, watch out, be on guard against false prophets who cry, Lord, Lord, but not to perform, not to teach fully the will of the Father, of will of the Father, who say many things, but do not. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. For if this were done, so much of what I teach on this show called Hidden Gospel Revealed, in other words, that fullness of the word that the rulers were prophesied in advance would not speak, it would not be so difficult to get many to understand. I can't tell you how much I petition the Most High oftentimes, knowing full well that if many were not awakened to understand what I call the gospel of Shiloh, what was always the expectation, will not discern Messiah as that one who will confirm whether or not men are true to the fullness of the word of Yah. If men will not accept that as a foundation for faith, knowing you must seek beyond your leaders, knowing that he's going to reprove them all, my brothers and sisters, all efforts that one performs, not seeking the exceeding word that transcends all the unrighteousness of the nations, that the greater righteousness and restoration be told. Whoever does not have that as an absolute desire, commission, vow, oath, true in all things in his heart. All that he does, all that he has given, is only an abuse is only vanity. And that at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, what is granted to the most, what is given to the Most High, the result of such dereliction of duty, is a thing that still does not perform as it was intended. Like I said, somebody gives you, in the middle of the desert, a hot burning desert where it's going to be 130 degrees, and somehow somebody gives you, somebody y'all know what I'm talking about, a mabob. I think those things, what they said, somebody said those things cost what, somewhere like what, $500,000? But there is not a drop of gas in the car. Can't even turn on the air conditioner. You have a $500,000 mabob. But if you can't get that thing to go in, and you sit back and say, okay, I'm going to sit in it. Oh, it's not an automobile, my brothers and sisters, that will move you at all. In fact, it's a coffin. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Most High created all things. He created with a purpose. And all those things, my brothers and sisters, he created with a purpose, must be dealt with, supplied with, administered to the all that for which they are purpose, given all that is necessary to perform their purpose, or else it is nothing. What about the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, about those who bones lay in the wilderness? Do people really believe that was about it? In every way was a total rejection of the truth? One scripture says, you break one law, you broke all. So many of these, my brothers and sisters, might have thought in some ways that they were faithful, but they were tricked not to know Yah, tricked not to know His ways. The scripture says, their bones lay in the wilderness. Why? Because they would not know that the way of Yah, the way in being made true things to accomplish His goal, is to seek all His righteousness. That's what He told Abraham. He didn't tell him to think that partiality would be a blessing. Most High told me, if I could look at the contradictions, and the multitude of the contradictions, my brothers and sisters, amount to nothing at the end of the day. If one man says go 5 miles north, the next one tells you go 5 miles south, and you're supposed to arrive at a point that's 10 miles from your initial destination. Wow. Have you accomplished anything at all? Well, for those, my brothers and sisters, who teach a doctrine of backsliding and tell people they've accomplished much in so doing, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, we should be far wiser than that. Most I told me He gives His own far greater discretion than that. Those who have been possessed by His Spirit. Well, we talked about that in the book of Malachi. It says those who have a residue of His Spirit won't accept such partiality. They won't accept such corruption. They won't accept such treacherous compromise. They won't accept this divorce from the words the Most High declared to make His people a people from their youth. They won't accept this idea about the Most High being pleased with every man walking according to his own deviant or evil way. My brothers and sisters, it's time we snap to ask the Most High to show us the greater discretion of His word. We follow Him and not another. We follow Him to give glory to His name and not another. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Enemy Out of Covenant of Remembrance Ministries. Prayer for always to the Most High for the greater discretion of His word and His name. Blessing of our people, my brothers and sisters, the restoration of harmony, the commonality and a sense of peace and accord for His people. For that should be all our prayer. My brothers and sisters, I say thank you again all for listening. For I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near to understand, to hear. And to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, my brothers and sisters, I say again, hallelujah! Again, I thank you.